Blog Talk Radio.
Right, welcome to the Real Sports Guys, where real guys talk real sports. We got Devon, Ray, and Marcus in the house. And, you know, we're going to get to the playoff game between the Celtics and the Lakers at some point, but we got a lot of topics we want to hit before we get to that while the game is going on. And as you know, we always go to the post. You know, even though he played like a three, sometimes a two, he might have played a four, he could do it all. We always go to Marcus in the post to get us started. And Marcus, we're going to let you get the ball rolling.
All right. So, you know, just thinking about topics for this week, you know, I heard about this ultimatum that the Big 12, who is has realized that they're in a little bit of trouble right now with the Pac-10 and the Big 10 have been talking to Texas and trying to woo Texas away from the Big 12. And the Big 10 has also been rumored to be trying to get Missouri and Nebraska to jump over. So today, or it was either today or yesterday, the Big 12 kind of laid down the law on those two schools, in particular Missouri and Nebraska, and gave them ultimatum of by Friday they need to inform the Big 12 as to whether or not they're going to leave or not. But I think, you know, the Big 12 right now is putting their foot down because it's like, you know, everybody's talking to our teams and trying to pull our teams in. You know, I think the Big East may want to take some notes and think about doing the same thing. But I wanted to throw that out there to start out and see what you guys thought about that with the Big 12 kind of giving Missouri and Nebraska that ultimatum that they need to make a decision, not in the next week or two, but by Friday.
I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that today. And when we were talking earlier and you brought that up, you know, and I find that so interesting that they can – They would do that because it leads me to believe, you know, my first thought was, who's making them backdoor deals? Who in the Big 12 is like, well, if they leave, we got to go somewhere. And so, you know, if the Big 12 all suddenly becomes the Big 10, it might just be for a day or two because you might see some other teams bolt. And it could be like the Big 12 could be like the Big 3. I don't know when this scenario is going to take place and how soon, you know, they're trying to realign these leagues. But it would seem as though there's some, you know, well, you got to tell me what you're going to do so I can do what I got to do kind of thing, you know.
The interesting thing I'll say, Ray, is that, you know, Texas has been in a conversation. And when I heard the ultimatum, it was kind of like, you know, they used to talk about Paul Brown, you know, if Jim Brown was late, they'd yell at somebody else, right? They'd yell at them. Really want to yell at Jim, but
right.
but they yelling at the other player for Jim being late, you know. And that's kind of how it feels right now. Is that, you know, they're gonna say that to Texas. I don't hear no ultimatums to Texas, you know, at all. You know, it's like we gonna get Missouri and Nebraska, you know. That's a crazy thing.
That's
what I've been hearing about the situation, and this is just what I've heard listening to the radio. I haven't seen an article on it in particular, but the word out there is that it's going to be really difficult for Texas to leave because the Texas state legislature wants to keep Texas and Texas Tech and Texas A&M and Baylor all in the same conference because they want to all get that revenue, keep that revenue in state.
Sure.
So they're saying, you know, Texas is still a state university. And so, you know, whatever moves they make ultimately are going to have to be approved by the state at some point. And so that may be an obstacle for Texas moving. But I definitely appreciate Devon's point of, like, you know, we're not going to yell at Texas because we don't want to mess that up.
Yeah, that's,
you two, y'all need to go sit down somewhere.
That's how they used to kick the dog when grandma passed gas. You know, you can't do that. It don't work like that. But what Texas has to think about is going into Big Blue. You know, Texas has to think about going into Wisconsin and sharing that revenue and getting that kind of money. And so Texas, you know, in as much as the state of Texas would like to see those four teams stay together, they have to realize that if, you know, it's a university system, and as they subsidize whatever they do subsidize down in Texas, getting some of that other money from somewhere else. I mean, you know they're gonna when Texas A&M and Texas plays, it's huge. It's a huge game. It's no different than when Michigan and Michigan State play, you know. But it's all Michigan money.
Mm-hmm.
It's all Michigan money. You ain't making a nickel more. You ain't losing anything, but you're not making a nickel more. So when they play some of these other schools, you know, can they generate the kind of money they would generate if they were going into Big Blue? Can they generate the money that they would generate going into Wisconsin? You go to any kind of a Wisconsin game, go to an away game, and look at how many red jerseys are in those stands. And, you know, if you're Texas, you know, as much as they, you know, they like to, Texas always talks about pulling out of the union, you know.
Texas, right, they always talking about, you know, succeeding or disbanding or doing whatever they want to do.
Yeah. Now you might see Texas go, well, let Texas A&M do what they got to do. You know, we're going to Michigan.
And one of the things I learned today I was listening to, especially with the Big Ten contract, which Mike with the television deal, there's like an 8-state region, and so for each subscriber they have in that Midwest region, they get like 80, I think it's 80 cents per subscriber. So, if Nebraska came in, they only get 5 cents per subscriber. So, you know, getting, one thing you're saying is getting Notre Dame, let's say, to equal what you're going to get from Notre Dame, you need like whatever 16 subscribers to equal one Notre Dame subscriber in it, and so. As you start to unpack, you know, the money and how these things play, and it also, as I was talking about before, people don't talk about it as much, but there's some strategic alliances around some of the academic and research components that people want to be involved in, especially with the Big Ten, you know, and some of the reasons why some of these institutions, I know Nebraska wants to be a part of the Big Ten, you know, it's not just the sports, but the academic and the research advantages that they get from doing it.
The academic and research is, you know, the Big Ten is the only conference that has every school with such a high academic standard.
Yeah.
And, you know, it has always been like that.
Yeah.
It's only been in the last few years that every one of those schools has had a chance to be, you know, in the national spotlight with their programs. You know, Northwestern, when they had a good football team, you know, they were doing some wonderful things. Now, you know, you still have Indiana's in there. You still have, you know, Northwestern's in there. You know, you have some teams that aren't really up to par with what the Big Ten has been doing lately in the national spotlight. But still, they have, you know, they have reputation. Nobody's going to deny Indiana's reputation in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But
the part that's so amazing about this, and when you unpack all of this, wherever teams go, is the fact that Kansas. It's like no one's talking about, they have nowhere to go. And if you think about it from a basketball standpoint, you have, you know, one of the top basketball programs, and now, you know, their football program has been pretty consistent over the past few years, but a school like Kansas may be left out, you know, they might be playing in the SWAC. You know, they might be playing with, you know, against Grambling. You know, they might be
in the these teams that the Big Ten are looking at, you know, all – not only are they academically sound, it will not take away anything from, you know, from the conference's academic stature. But when you look at it, you know, they say, well, why Missouri? Well, Missouri has, you know, they have Springfield. They have St. Louis. They have these markets that, you know, they're not as small a market team as you want to think.
Mm-hmm.
They have a drawing. They don't have, you know, they don't have a professional team.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and like Nebraska, they don't have a professional team. So everything, you know, drive through Nebraska one time, you think there's nothing there. But ride through there one time and see how many red cars there are. Red cars. Every third car is red. Nebraska red. You go, damn, you know. They follow that team. They've got a backing. You know, would they love a Notre Dame? For the same reason. You know, Notre Dame has that national notoriety, you know. So these are just, you know, the Big Ten is holding on to that, oh, we want these academically, you know, strong schools. But the fact that they aren't offering this to anybody that's not in a strong market,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're not offering this. They're not looking for another Northwestern.
Right.
You know, they're not looking for another Northwestern, even though Northwestern is in Chicago, has a strong market. They're not looking for, you know, just academic strength. They have to bring people to the stadium. They have to have a following. They have to have a market. And, you know, if they can, you know, I think the Big 12 is foolish in giving an ultimatum because, you know, they're going to find themselves in trouble. They're going to lose somebody that way,
yeah.
Somebody that maybe wouldn't have gone otherwise.
So here's a question I want to throw out there is what happened? I mean, we're talking about money. We're talking about TV deals. What happened to that purity of, you know, I'm a big fan of pro sports more so than college. I favor the pros more than college because I know
sure.
what I'm watching. Cats are paid, and they grown men, and this is the best of the best. You know, but you always hear those college fans saying how the game is different and they play for the love, and they do. But come on now, this is just a money grab right here. What happened to that whole, like, purity of amateurism? And, you know, you might have a team, you know, flying a couple thousand miles. I mean, Texas ain't close to Wisconsin. So, you know,
right.
you're pulling them kids out of class for a couple of days, you know, for them to come up here and get ready. And, you know, during the basketball season, that's going to be even a harder trip if they were to. And think of, I mean, that's a part of it I don't think people are thinking about because nobody cares about the kids. Nobody cares about student-athletes. You know.
Well, I think this is a prelude to a national playoff for football, and the Big 12 is in or Big 10 is in the best position to put as many teams in that playoff as any league is any conference in the nation, and that's you know I think they realize that they're beating the wrong drum. You know they've been able to hold off a national playoffs. And it's going to go that way. And I think that they see an opportunity to go ahead and to try to shore up their conference to put as many teams in that national playoff as a conference will allow.
Well,
and it's also the big thing was that they need one more team, Kalani said today, to actually have a championship game in the Big Ten. So in
right.
order to qualify,
exactly.
they got to have 12, right? They got to have one more team.
Right.
Do it. And so that's why, you know, if they get Notre Dame, then, you know, they might be through, you know, at
yes.
that point. Because they just need to create that championship game.
And,
you know, I'm going to get back to Mark. I just want to get back to your point. Think about this. The conference that was considered one of the best conferences, had Heisman Trophy candidates coming out of it, was the Big 12.
Right.
You know, and part of this, you know, the part that I look at this, because this is all about money, but the part that I look at it is it's kind of like the coach – who is at a great institution, like you coaching at Gonzaga, and you're playing for national championships or you're playing for a run, you're a top team, and why would you want to go? You're building a brand.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to leave there to go coach somewhere else? Let's say go coach at, you know, even Kentucky, you know, when you already got a brand and you can win. And what is it about the regionalization or kind of regionalization of football? You know, the Southeast, the Midwest, you know, that kind of thing, and people can kind of claim it. All that kind of stuff is going out the window. And you know, if I'm Texas, you know, look at what happened to Penn State when they came into the Big Ten.
Yeah.
you know, I mean, it was a good thing for them on some levels with some of their other sports, but their football, they took a beating. Even though they had a couple of good seasons over a long period of time, it was tough to win every year.
Yeah, I mean, in Texas right now, they have their own. I mean, they run that conference right now in football in particular. And you know, they're talking about going to the Pac-10. Do you really want to go compete with SC on a yearly basis?
Yeah.
Or do you really want to go compete with, you know, Ohio State? And if Michigan ever comes back, or Wisconsin, or Penn State when they're good, you know, do you really want to go compete with three or four more other teams? Whereas in the Big 12, it's pretty much right now Texas and everybody else.
Right.
But that's, again, if your conference isn't going to, you know, get the kind of seeding you want for a national championship, then you might want to think about moving into a conference. What I would
that doesn't hurt Texas. Texas is in the national championship conversation every year.
Sure,
because they don't lose.
Right, but they win the conference, and as long as there's not a true playoffs, they're fine. They're going to have to play these teams in the playoffs. They're going to have to, you know, if they come up with a national playoffs where you have, you know, four more games in a season, it ain't just going to the bowl. It ain't just whooping up on the Big 12 and going to a bowl and getting a national championship. They're going to have to play these teams anyway. They might as well make the money.
Yeah.
But the other side of this now that I was just thinking about is that you wonder if the Big 12 isn't going to Notre Dame and saying, look, we can't take you. Because then we'll be the odd man out. We won't have a true playoff. Mm. We won't have a true conference championship. What can we do to get you in the Big Ten?
Right.
what is it that we have to do to move you out of this, to get these people to quit talking to us?
Well, here's something to think about. My mom always said the emptiest wagons make the most noise. So right now you got a lot of schools making noise. You got Texas making noise. They might jump ship. You got Missouri and Nebraska talking crazy. There's one team out there that you ain't heard nothing from who should be on everybody's list, and that's Boise State.
Sure.
They should be, not only should they be looking for a partner to match up with, but somebody should be looking to get them into their conference, because Boise State needs that cachet of being in the big, one of those Power Six conferences, so they can finally make that jump and be a legitimate title contender. And who would want a school like Boise State that has, again, built a brand? You know, they're not in a major market, but for a Big Ten to be able to kind of get some of that West Coast love, you know, as far as West as Boise State is, or even the Pac-10, or even the Big 12 if they pull Boise State in as a replacement if a Missouri or Nebraska leaves, I think you break even if you get a Boise State in.
Now, Boise State, now, from my understanding, were they looking at the WAC or something like that, or looking at moving in, you know, was it BYU and Utah?
But I think if the Pac-10 called Boise State, to hell with the WAC in the Mountain West.
I understand.
That's why I said
they are trying to say a word.
No reports about Boise State leaning no way. They're going to wait and see how this plays out, and then they're going to go where they need to go.
I just want to say this quickly. If you want to join the conversation, it's 347-989-0844. We also have the chat room open. So if you want to just post something up on the chat, we can catch it, and maybe we'll talk about that on the air. But if you want to call in, it's 347-989-0844. So if we were to think about, you know, the other quiet thing you said about Boise State is also what's really quiet about this is the SEC.
Yeah.
Texas would fit well
out there, too.
Yeah. And they haven't really been a part of this conversation as much. I mean, they've kind of been just quiet. Like that, you know, ready to sit back and say, y'all do what y'all need to do.
Yeah, you put Texas in the SEC and everybody else might as well not show up. Like, the SEC is going to get a team in the title game every year if you put Texas in that conference.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever wins the SEC should have the right to play for the national title, no matter what, as long as the BCS is still in play. But to me, you know, if anything comes from this whole expansion process, I hope is the dismantling of the BCS. Because to me, the BCS makes college football gymnastics.
Right.
You got a computer Russian judge sitting over there, you know, making these decisions as to who should play and who shouldn't play. you know, I was always taught, you get out there and you play for it. You beat me, you keep going. You know, survive in advance. That's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't need no computer to tell me who the top two teams are. If they're the top two teams, then they need to play their way. And if they're the top two teams, they get to the finals and they'll play for it. You know, they get to the championship, the Final Four, whatever you want to call it, and they will play for it. But don't have a computer eliminate other teams that are undefeated, have beat everybody on their schedule, and they don't even get a shot because of what conference they play in. Come on,
that undefeated, and that you know, you talk about Texas going into the Big Ten. You know, or leaving the Big 12. You know, Boise State's kind of in the same position. You know, nobody in their conference is challenging them. So, you know, right now they can still sit back and thump their chest and say, "Yeah, we should have been number one, and we were undefeated, and we're a great team, and you know, but we just don't get a chance to play anybody."
Yeah.
You know,
they live in Groundhog. I think they're living in Groundhog's Day though, because they're doing that every year, and I think they're tired of it. You know, they're waking up to the same thing every year. We went 12-0, we can't get no respect. I mean,
yeah,
I think they're tired of that.
Brigham Young used to do the same thing.
Yeah.
BYU is a great example. I think also you can only do that for so long before, you know, your program hits a bump or you lose your coach, and now you can't rebound because you don't have that, for one, that coach that's leading the program, and then you don't have that big conference connection to continue to draw those recruits without that coach.
The other side of that is Boise State academically sound enough to be in the Big Ten? I don't know that they're not.
I don't
know.
Yeah, I'm not aware
of that. But it is Boise State. If you've ever been to Boise, if you can't, you know, if it's hard to recruit football players, hell, it's got to be hard to recruit some professors. It's Boise. You know? If you've ever seen Boise in December.
They got to have a good agriculture program or something, right?
Yeah. You know, because,
you know.
Yep. It's a beautiful, it's like Wisconsin. It's beautiful in the summertime. In the wintertime, that snow is deep. You know, so, I mean, that's what the Big Ten is clinging to. You know, they keep saying, we want to grab these teams that are academically sound, you know, and. You know, if they just don't want to talk about the greed factor.
Someone was saying today, which is crazy. This was driving me so crazy about the NCAA, is that we got all this stuff happening, and like they said, the NCAA hasn't said anything about it. So you'll hear, like, you haven't heard anything, anybody chime in, anyone saying nothing. NCAA has kind of just been on the sidelines for all this stuff. But they'll get involved if a student athlete gets a pencil from a well meaning businessman. You know, it's like there's nobody, you know, you hear nothing from any kind of administration around this time. It's kind of free flowing in a way that could damage the game. I mean, I see more downside to this consolidation of conferences.
I do too. I view it in much the same way as they talked about expansion to 94 teams in basketball.
Yeah.
You know, but I think the NCAA's place in this, you know, right now they realize that, you know, they oversee, you know, the rules. They make them and then they oversee them, but nobody really likes them. Nobody really, you know, it's not Bud Selig, you know. They don't really like the guys.
Yeah.
You know, Bud Selig can be the commissioner of baseball because, you know, all the owners like the guy, you know. He don't really do shit, but they like him. He's there, you know. He had
opportunity to reverse that call. They don't even actually run the championship for football. Football for the NCAA is Frankenstein. It's the monster that they created and now has gotten out of it, bigger than them. College football is bigger than the NCAA right now.
Right.
And if the universities, I mean, the universities are already playing for an independent championship. They're not playing for an NCAA championship. They're playing for the BCS championship, which has nothing to do with the NCAA. The NCAA has no oversight over the BCS whatsoever.
It's
the same entities because you're still talking about college presidents and provosts and chancellors who
you're
are
not,
in all these
not,
conversations.
You're not.
Yes,
you are.
No, you're
not.
At the end of the day, they're the ones.
You are not.
Yes,
when your head football coach is the highest paid person at that university. We're not talking about the provost
or
the president.
No, you state employee.
Yeah,
well,
but
at the end of the day, the rules change with provosts and presidents. Don't get it twisted. There's been more of a shift. Presidents and provosts take more control of what's happening with these coaches.
Right, they do. The NCAA doesn't have any oversight over them, though.
I know, but it's the same people have the same
it's
conversation.
The Wild West.
At the NCAA level, it's the college president.
It's the Wild West, D. It's the Wild West.
The only time you hear about a college president.
The NCAA is just there. Like, they just there when you mess up. They come in and they look around, and if you don't sanction yourself, then they'll sanction you.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, college presidents have more autonomy than, I mean, they're like owners.
But that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, with college presidents in different rooms, I say a different thing.
Sure.
So folks will, and this is what I'm talking about, the hypocrisy of the whole thing. So at the conference level, because they still inform and run with these commissioners, you know, the reason why the Pac-10 is doing what it's doing is because the college president of the Pac-10 told this new commissioner to go get the deal. Because for a long time, they were not going at it, and they finally said, you know, he came in and did the salesmanship on them, and they said, go get the deal. But it took the president's in the provost and folks like that to say, go get the deal, or it would have happened.
So hit the pavement and don't come back without my money.
That's exactly it. You don't hear about these presidents until it's about the money. Let that program get on sanctions. Let that program find itself on probation. Let that program find itself out of contention. And then the president steps in, and the professors step in, the whole college seems to step, you know, now it's all about academics.
Oh, yeah.
Now
it's
all about, the
presidents are like the Greek on the wire. Don't nobody know him and don't want to see him.
Oh, yeah, nobody knows
something bad happened.
They know they out there.
You know, the strongest person in colleges right now are those commissioners of those conferences. You know, if the presidents wanted a national championship, they would have one. If the presidents, you know, would take the lead from their voters in those states, they would have a national championship. But it's those conference commissioners that are saying, no, we don't want that.
It's also the bowl system.
We don't want that.
The bowl system protects a lot of cats. I mean, not just the university gets money, but them coaches, they like that bowl system. That's why the coaches clamor for that 96 team or whatever NCAA tournament, because you can always say you made a tournament. You can, you know, for some of those coaches, you can make a bowl going 6-6.
That's right.
You know, 6-6, you get a bowl bid because of your conference. Come on now. You ain't did nothing. You went 6-6. You broke even.
Right.
You just might as well stay 0-0.
But that's the thing. Those commissioners, those conference commissioners, those people who are in charge of those conferences are okay with having a team going 6-6. If Wisconsin goes 6-6 and ends up in the bottle cap bowl somewhere, they're taking a whole bunch of people. As long as it's like 3 degrees warmer than Madison, they're taking a whole bunch of people. And they're gonna get paid.
Oh, yeah.
Madison's gonna get paid. You know, how many times have you seen Wisconsin move up a bowl with a mediocre finish?
Mm-hmm.
How many in the last 10 years? Every time Wisconsin plays, you know, mediocre, they still end up in somebody's bowl over some team that might have been a little bit more worthy that year. That team might have finished 3 games better than they did the year before.
Right.
Wisconsin might finish 3 games worse than they did the year before, and they say, "Oh, we're going to invite Wisconsin because they're bringing a whole lot of
travel." Yeah,
that's
they
right.
Travel,
they're going to bring a whole lot of red shirts. They'll get a better bowl than Boise State.
Yeah.
Because ain't nobody coming out of Boise.
No, I mean, ain't but three people in Boise anyway.
That's exactly it.
That's not on the team.
That's right. So when these conferences, you know, these conferences control this. The NCAA has rules. They just set the rules, you know, and then they investigate and sanction and do those types of things. But, you know, they have the basketball tournament. But again, they started talking about expanding to.
They're gonna F that up. Is what they're gonna do.
What's that?
It's perfect. I mean, it's perfect. You know,
right.
Sometimes say good enough is great, you know, we just need better, not perfect. They
right.
have perfect, and they effing with it. Just leave it alone. Like, just leave it alone. Speak. And speaking of college basketball, y'all think Izzo is going to go coach LeBron? I mean, if you're Izzo, how do you make that decision?
I'm waiting for LeBron to make one.
Yeah.
I'm making, you know, and that doesn't mean I won't call him. I don't think there's any reason for Izzo not to call LeBron. But I think that if I'm Izzo, I'm calling him and I'm saying, look, here's the deal. No other team in the league can talk to you. No other team in the league can talk to you, but I'm calling you from my desk right now. And before I give up my golden goose, I got to know what you're going to do.
Yeah, you can see, man, as a college hoops coach or a college coach, a football or basketball coach in college, you are, I mean, you're a king. I mean, you
right.
got your own kingdom. You're in control.
Right.
You got, I mean, the pros for coaches, especially the NBA, I mean, coaches get ate up. I mean, how many coaches of the year have been fired, you know, within 2-3 years of winning the award?
And that's,
you know,
the thing about Izzo. He's been there for so long. That's his place. And he needs to sit down with LeBron and say, okay, can we do this? And do you really want to leave what you have to go coach LeBron?
Yeah.
You've got to have a total commitment from Cleveland, just like LeBron needs a total commitment. And if
yeah,
those two can sit down and say, look, if we start with this, in 3 years we could be here as long as you stay with us. And Cleveland appears to be ready to do just that.
Yeah.
You know?
Michigan State's a hell of a situation.
Sure.
I mean, he can – Tom Izzo can go into a recruit's house. He can go to a kid's house and say – any player that's played for me for 4 years has made a Final Four.
Yeah.
Anybody that's played for him for 4 years has made a Final Four. He can go into a kid's house and say, if you stay at Michigan State for 4 years, I can bet that the probability of you playing in a Final Four is greater than it is anywhere else in this country.
Sure.
He can go into any kid's living room and say that and not be lying.
Right.
So why
would you take the chance to go to Cleveland? You didn't know you've got to have it written in stone. That
yeah,
LeBron James
yeah.
is either.
Yeah,
otherwise you're not going.
But then the money. There's the money.
Yeah, there's the money. But
you know, money talks.
But money talks, but. Is he going to be treated in Cleveland like he's treated at Michigan State?
Hell no.
Hell no. And the other
That's
side of that, and here again, every one of those young men that come to Michigan State owe him something.
Right, right.
Every one of those young men that come to Michigan State owe him something. He'll walk into Cleveland realizing he don't even run that team.
Exactly. He's going to walk into Cleveland and immediately become the most expendable part. The easiest replaceable part is what he becomes as a coach. That's the first cat that gets to ask, because you can't really move the players around because of their contracts.
So money talks, but, you know, you have to be really close to the end of your career to make a decision like that.
Yeah.
You know,
if I'm Izzo as well, I'm thinking, you know, I mean, he got the line into one of the best recruiting beds in the country, in the Flint Saginaw area.
You bet.
And I think and he's the key. Unless I know Cleveland is going to start operating like Utah, we're going to get a coach, and we're going to have a philosophy. Whether LeBron, you stay here or not, you know, this is going to be our Jerry Sloan. You know, if they come in like that, then. Which a market like Cleveland has to think about, you know. I'll go do it. But
see, right
you know,
now Cleveland trying to pretend like they're a big market. Right now, Cleveland's trying to pretend like they're a big market. They don't want to be what they really are right now because of LeBron's presence.
Yeah.
And they're operating with a very short sighted business plan, in my opinion.
Yeah. That's right.
I don't even think they have a plan. I think right now, if LeBron came in with a blue shirt on, everybody running out to get a blue shirt. They're trying to make that young man so happy that they'll sell the five. I mean, you know, when Danny Ferry leaves after 5 years, after what he's tried to do, and just walks out, He didn't walk out. They came to his office and they said, you know, you went by LeBron the other day. You didn't say hi. He ain't happy. You got to go. Now,
yeah.
You want to tell him you left or you want to tell him we sent you? You know, Jimmy Ferry didn't walk out of there. You know, if he did, he just knew what was going to happen. He's the GM. You know,
right.
He didn't want to fire Brown.
Right.
You know, he didn't want to do all of this. Every time he turned around, and the other thing that's happening in Cleveland, and here's the real sad thing. They lost Ferry. They lost Brown, and they don't know if they're not going to lose LeBron. Right now, LeBron and his people are running Cleveland until LeBron decides that he's going to stay or go.
Mm-hmm.
If he stays, Cleveland is never – I'm telling you, I don't believe Cleveland will ever be right.
Nah, they're going to be New Jersey. The Nets would be Cleveland without LeBron.
Right.
Easily.
You know, everybody has pumped so much air into LeBron's ass right now that in his people, everything that they're going around in Cleveland is, you know, that's who they're listening to. That's who the owner's listening to.
It's going to be like good times after James died.
That's right. That's exactly it.
Times going to get real hard around the house.
That's right.
Real hard.
And that's why I appreciate
it. Thing about it is, he's messing it up now. He might not even stay. Where is Cleveland? What is Cleveland going to be without Danny Ferry, Brown, and LeBron? They're selling everything down the river. You know, if LeBron went in there tomorrow and said, you know, pack Shaq's ass up, they'd have to pack Shaq's ass up.
Basically.
They eat the contract. They do whatever they had to do. But right now, they're just in such that ass-kissing mode that they're willing to do anything. They're showing him that. We'll do whatever it takes. And there's no guarantee he's staying.
That's why I like what, you know, what Chicago did. You know, they're in the running. And I don't know if they consulted with LeBron's people or not, but, you know, making their hire when they needed to make their hire and, you know, not spend a lot of time waiting because, you know, last time they waited, they ended up with Vinny. And, they went after their coach. And I think, you know, and hopefully, you know, then they could, you know, and, you know, how these back channels work that, you know, somebody's probably talking to someone, but the fact that they made a decision on their timeline is how you run an organization. You know,
I'm waiting for that one team that's in the running to just back off and say, look, this is just too confusing. You know?
Yeah, I love LeBron, but I'm going to go get D-Wade. He won a championship.
That's exactly it. You know, I ain't putting all my eggs in this one basket. You know, he's one knee injury away from ruining a franchise. I'm not going out there like that. I don't see it. You know, it's getting too muddled, and LeBron is getting too much attention, you know, for the talent that he has. You know, again, if he don't win the championship, that's Alex English. He's just a good player, and he doesn't shit. So I'm not doing it. I can't believe how far Cleveland has gone in such a short time. You know, Danny Ferry put together a fairly fine team. They didn't do it. They won a lot of games. They should have won some more playoff, you know, games. They should be in the championship, but they're not. And, you know, they came to him. Somebody came to him and said, Brown's got to go. Wasn't his idea, but he's the GM.
Mm-hmm.
And he let him go. And then 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, he's gone. What happened? How much more are they piling on? How much more? Because if he would have thought about it, he just said, "Me and Brown are going here." They'd have been making their move somewhere else. They'd have left together.
I've never seen a team be held hostage like this, man. I mean, the Lakers even when Kobe was flipping out a little bit, three, four years ago, the Lakers didn't even go this far.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
But kind of they did because they got rid of Shaq.
But I think they saw the writing on the wall with those two. I mean, that was I think.
Right, but I'm just saying, you know, they kind of put their stamp on Kobe when they traded Shaq.
Yeah, because I mean, they had to look at it. Okay, we these two can't coexist no more. We got to keep one. Who are we gonna keep? The younger one.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, this whole free agency class, you know, what's going to be interesting about it is that all this attention is going to be on LeBron, and somebody's going to make a hell of a move that has nothing to do with LeBron that's going to put their team to another level. Like, one of these other GMs, everybody looking one way, and they're gonna pull off a hell of a move that's gonna cement them in such a way that's gonna shift it. And everybody's like, how come we didn't see that coming? Because
you know,
this is a great smokescreen.
We've talked about this. If LeBron doesn't win a championship in 3 years, will he win one? How will he win one? What role will he play? You know, he won't be that star player 4 years from now. He'll be a part of a team. He won't be, you know, Kobe Bryant in the Lakers. He won't be LeBron in New Jersey. He'll be a part of something. He won't be that contributing factor. As young as he is, I think 3 years, you know, could be a heartbreaker for him if he don't win a championship in 3 years. And then he'll just be a part of a team. His legacy is going to be tainted if he doesn't really sit down and put himself in that right position.
Well, fellas, I know we got a little bit of time here left, and you know the game is still on.
What is the score?
86-80. LA's up.
Yeah, and this is a crazy game.
Yeah, it is.
I don't even know what to say. I saw Derek Fisher hit a couple of shots. You know, my brother's a Lakers fan. He can't stand Fisher. And it's like, you know, he takes some ill-advised shots, and you just want to hit him. You're like, it's kind of like, why? How is this cat getting off? He's like the guy at the playground. You're like, how is he getting off? How is he getting off on us? You know, Doc over there like, how's he getting off the dribble? Crazy looking shot, the whole nine, man. He's just killing me. I just don't know what's up with the Celtic bigs, man. They are just not rebounding. They don't go after the ball. Gasol is now no longer Gasol. He balling on them.
They just hit
an and one on them. And is that Derek Fisher again? I mean, come on, man. It's like, he like the cat that hit 10 in a row. He might not ever hit 10 in a row at the park again. And like he got the kid walking out there like he just
He showed up on the wrong day.
You know, looking crazy. You know,
I think like we were talking earlier, when you run out of L.A. talking about we ain't coming back,
that's right.
You know, I don't think you do that.
Yeah.
You know, because I think they might have went. I think, you know, Kobe might have got in the locker room and like, look, we ain't coming back either. How's that? But we ain't out there putting it out like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling Paul, I'm telling Fisher, I'm telling Odom. I ain't telling the press, but we ain't coming back. You know, I'm booking my vacation straight out of Boston. Shit, I'm leaving.
Yeah, it's just like I told you, like when Clyde left Detroit, when Portland played the Pistons, talking about they ain't coming back, and Vinny just killed them 3 straight games, and they never came back. You cannot say that, and they get killed. I mean, Paul, none of these cats are showing up, man.
Yeah,
and like, and what happens with Boston? I mean, you got Ray Allen is a free agent. Paul's gonna be a free agent. I mean, this is it for this team. You know, you're not going to sign some of these cats back. And so, you know, they should be playing with even greater sense of urgency at home. So, you know, I know I'm going to take a beating on Facebook and Twitter with some of my guys that I've been going back and forth with, but this is crazy.
You know, that was some of the talk that I heard this week is that they were talking about Ray Allen down with Wade. They were talking about putting another guy in the backcourt there. You know,
I mean, you can see that happen. I mean, Boston's got to rebuild. I mean, the Lakers are going to probably get stronger. I mean, you know, hearing them, you know, involved in a number of different deals. So, you know, they're going to continue to be on the way up. But for the Celtics, you know, they're pretty much, you know, this is it with this team. I mean, they've got to do some regrouping, and some of these young guys have to step up. So, you know, and the East is not going to get any easier. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Marcus, we might have to look for another spotlight. You got to do a spotlight on somebody. You know, KG came to play today, you know, as much as he could early on in the game. But, and you know, Rondo's doing his thing, but I don't know what's happening with Pierce and company. I don't know what he's doing. But early when I was watching him, he wasn't really doing much.
Isn't Pierce in foul trouble right now?
Yeah, I think he was in foul trouble. I saw him hit a three early on, and there you go, he hit something right here. But he, like, late to the party. You know, they'll let D. Fish clown on him.
How much time is left? How much?
You know, I'm sitting in my living room away from the TV, no glasses on.
Right. Hold on, I'm right here.
Yeah, I got the 72-inch flat screen going, so let me see what's going on right here.
The flat screen is upstairs. You know, I got the old eyes. We got a young player there. We got a player in the game right now. We got to get Marcus. We got the flat screen and the good vision.
Yeah.
Right now
he's doing his replay of the foul on Rondo and Odom. Let's see, 39 seconds left. Lakers up 5, 87-82. Looks like it's L.A.'s ball, maybe. I can't tell. It's all old soft self. Quit crying. Whose ball is it?
It's out on Kardashian. It's out on Kardashian.
He might as well change his last name. He's been playing like a Kardashian this series.
Oh, my goodness. It was funny. Kenny Smith said, yeah, he usually shows up once every three nights. Tonight got to be tonight.
Offensive foul. Oh, man. They needed that bucket, too. You know, that basically is a synopsis of the game right there. They make a great play, and Gasol flops. And now I can't stand some of these European dudes. I'm getting mad over here, man. Let's go sit back. Bringing that softness to the game, man. Oh, Kool-Aid move. Flop.
But, you know, got to give it to the Lakers, man. These cats are stepping up and came back and playing tough here. Down the stretch, you know, when the crowd in Boston had a lot of energy and everything else, you know, they make it happen. But
here's something I want to know. What did Rock say the other day to Kobe? That Kobe just didn't even look at it. Has anybody heard about what?
Yeah, I don't know what he said. I saw it on TV when it was going down, and Kobe was just focused.
Straight ahead.
Yeah, Kobe didn't even blink. I mean, his brother literally didn't even blink.
No, he didn't look his way. He didn't even acknowledge him in one way or another. It was like, you know,
I'm out here to kill these fools. I got time for that.
He was definitely locked in that moment. At least he was pretending to be.
Oh, yeah, he had his game face on. you know. Right now, they give them some of that West Coast, that old West Coast, just whooping right now on them. You know, like we was talking about, easy. It's just it's not happening like this. And the thing about it, it just hurts me because L.A. is just the whole situation is just soft. You know. Fans come late. I ain't trying to hate it, but I am hating on it.
Yeah,
they pan that audience in L.A., you know, and you got Rock, you got all the stars, you got all the Hollywood. When they panned in Boston, you saw Cousy, you saw Julius Irving. You saw basketball people, you know. They came to see a basketball game tonight. I know that they have to be upset in Boston.
Yeah,
I know that they came to see Boston play. They have to be upset.
Paul, you're going to be making those announcements. You better show up next game.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. You know.
Show up or shut up.
That's it. You can't do this if you ain't going to come. I mean, Arteta pretty much got him on lockdown.
Yeah.
You know, frustrating him. You know, Arteta's doing exactly what he needs to do. And is playing that game. And in some ways, I'm happy for Arteta because he doesn't get – that's one person I can't say. Arteta always, you know, he did his share of dirt, but I like that Queen's Bridge in him.
Yeah,
you know?
No, you're right. I can't be mad. Did you see when he made Craig Sager shout out Queen's Bridge? Almost died, man. Almost died. I was like, man, this is fool. Can't even be mad at him, though, man. Can't even be mad at him.
I can't be, man. That brother is as real as it gets. You get what you see, you know. So I got a lot of love for Rod. Fisher just killed me because every time I look at his game, I'm just trying to figure it all out. I'm just like, it's a frustrating look. But he did his thing tonight. You know, sometimes I look at him thinking he like that IM cat with high socks. Just
yeah.
But we talked
about this a couple of weeks ago, you know, how these role players come into these other courts and you know, the threes don't fall and you know, the shots don't get made. But if you have a veteran like Fisher, that's exactly what happens.
I look like we got somebody here on the air. Who's this here joining us on the air? You here?
Hey, Real Sports Guys. This is Albert. How you guys doing?
Hey, what's up,
good,
man?
Good.
I saw you. I looked down and I saw you. So you trying to join us in the last few minutes. So, Albert, what's your view of tonight as the Lakers take it and go up 2-1?
Yeah, well, you know, I would have called in earlier, man. I had to catch the end of that game. I looked at the score and I was like, I can't miss that because, you know, I'm gonna feel bad if I come on the air and I miss a last second buzzer beater or something like that. But you know, I'm still gonna stand by my pick. Last week I had Boston in 7. I still think they can do it, but they have to win on Thursday night. They absolutely have to, because if they go down 3-1, you know, I'm not gonna feel so confident about it anymore. But
I got to go even further than that. They've got to, you know, they can't go back to LA having to win 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I think if LA comes off with either one of these next 2 games, you know, the Celtics are crushed. They're packing it up. They're planning vacation. If they lose one more game in Boston, they're going to fold it up. That's what I'm fearful of. And I think we all called Boston out. You know, I think we all said that Boston was going to win this series. And we forgot about L.A. You know, we forgot about how tenacious they can play. But, I thought tonight for sure after that game two in L.A. that Boston was going to win this ball game. And I was kind of happy to hear Pierce say, you know, when he's coming back. I wanted to hear them say that. Now I'm thinking he made a mistake.
Yeah. Well, I'm still sticking with my pick of Boston. I'm not wavering on it. You know, I feel like, you know, Rondo didn't play terribly, but again, Rondo was my barometer with the Celtics. When he's controlling the game and he's having a major impact on the game, they're just the Lakers can't beat them. But when he has a game like tonight where he's just okay,
right,
the Lakers are able to hang around and take the game. I mean, that's what's going to separate these two teams is their backcourt play. The Lakers' backcourt, the front courts right now seem to be, at least by these first 3 games, seem to be a wash. They seem to be playing playing even. But it's the backcourt. Whoever's backcourt steps up and plays better seems to be winning the games. And
well, that's,
again,
that's
go ahead.
Well, Albert, you watched the game. What I watched in the first half was that LA just beat them on the boards. They were out rebounding them, and that's just not what Boston can have. Did Boston not step up the boards in the second half? Did they just sit there and watch? I mean, because you know that's where they have to win. If Boston is going to beat LA, they can't give them second shots. They can't let them tip the ball around. They can't let them do any of those things. They have to grab those rebounds and head down the court. And in the first half, they weren't doing that.
Right, right. And when they fell behind, I think it was by 12 or 14, I think one of the announcers said that L.A. had a 7-rebound advantage. So they were definitely getting beat on the glass. I think that had a lot to do with it. But, anyway, I know you guys got to wrap it up pretty soon, but wanted to just come on and say, you know what, I still believe. I still think that they can do it. You know, it's they got beat up in the end there tonight. But you know, I think if they can pull out this next one, they still have a good shot. But then also before I head out, just wanted to touch on the conference realignment you guys were talking about earlier with the college sports. That's just killing me right now, man, because I'm a college fan through and through, you know, since I was a little kid growing up in Arizona watching the Arizona Wildcats play basketball, and this whole thing is just, it's a mess, man. I don't get it. It's kind of taking the fun out for me, I got to admit, and I don't know how it's going to end up, but the one thing for me is, like, Texas to the Pac-10, that to me is just, I'm having a hard time dealing with it right now. Because there's nothing Pacific about Texas for me. There's nothing Pacific about that.
I feel you on that. It just messes with like your sensibilities of like where things, the way things. It's like not putting apples in apple pie. You know what I mean? It really messes with your sensibilities and your understanding of like your concept of reality almost. It's really because. You know, Texas in the Big Ten? No, that's not something how it's supposed to be. Big Ten is supposed to be all Midwest schools. You know, that's what it's supposed to be. Pac-10 ain't supposed to have no Texas involved. You know what I mean? Like, even when the Big Ten was talking about getting, like, Pittsburgh and Syracuse, I'm like, that's too far east. That's not Big Ten country. Why is y'all going out of y'all way to pull these teams in? You know, and I understand why, because I understand it. It's about the money. But it still don't sit right.
Right. But how would you feel about a Missouri or a Nebraska?
That's
Big Ten material.
Yeah, that could work.
That makes a little more sense.
That makes more sense, even if they pull Kansas in. I would love to see them pull Kansas in just for the basketball, because then you know, you get the Jayhawks at least once a year at the Kohl Center. That'd be great.
Sure.
But it bugs me like when they're talking about Missouri and Nebraska, that didn't bother me so much. But when Pittsburgh and you're talking about, you know, Connecticut and, you know, these Big East schools, Syracuse, and I'm like,
I think Texas is arrogant. For the Big Ten to say that, you know, we would like to have Texas, I see that as arrogance. You know, that's just, you know, when they try to court Notre Dame, you know, that's you know, because, you know, Notre Dame is independent. Everybody tries to court them. But when you talk about going across country and snatching the best team out of a conference, it's like, wait a minute. That's a bit of arrogance there. You're coming off as being a bully. I don't know that it's necessary. Missouri, Nebraska, we can understand that, you know. But I don't know why they would, you know, Texas they would take Texas because they could. And mm-hmm. take Texas because they're just arrogant enough to try to pull that off, rather than have a chance to really get Texas. Because to me, Texas is kind of like Notre Dame. You know, they don't need the Big Ten anymore. You know, then they shouldn't. You know, I don't see why they would look at it. You know, other than selling tickets. You know, it'd be arrogance on Texas' part too to say, yeah, we'll come up there, we'll play.
Well, one of the things I want to say is, Albert, thank you for being loyal and coming back in. And we also have Phil T. up there in the chat room. He's talking about with my guy Strasburg, the top 14 strikeouts in there. You know, there's a lot to talk about today, and we're glad we got to do that. One of the things I love to have folks who are able to listen in on is check us out on Facebook, Real Sports Guys. We're on Facebook. You know, fan us, put some comments on the board, help us, improve what we're trying to do with the show. You could also go to realsportsguys.com. We have a blog. Ray and Marcus will be putting out their blogs here soon. I got some stuff up there. You know, put some comments, create conversation. Help us as we start to think about topics that we want to talk about. We want you to come and be a part of it. We definitely enjoy all the input and the folks who have been joining us. and being a part of it. And fellas, it was good for one more week. You know, I look forward to us getting back again next week for another one. And hopefully we can talk about some of the stuff that's happening with the baseball. We got some really good stuff going on. Good night, y'all.
Danny was like, whatever.